are in our service and have been over the weeks looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We have looked at love, joy, peace, patience, and today we are going to be looking at kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is more. It's more than an attitude. I'm going to love more, or I'm going to have more peace, or I'm going to be more patient. So it's more than just a trait or an attitude in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, working in us and working through us. And the way that we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life is by keeping close to Jesus, remaining in the vine. John 15 talks about remaining in the vine. And so that is how we begin to see the fruit. Is there evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so there are three characteristics of kindness. I want to suggest is that it's compassionate. That is an action. We have to show kindness. And as we'll see, and we are seeing from our story and from the Word of God, it is powerful. It's powerful. How do we respond as people when we see people in need? Do we look at how busy we are, what lack we have, how can we help? How do we respond to people who have a need? Jesus, when he saw people with a need, he stepped in. He took action and he helped a lot of people. I believe Jesus was kind. He was kind. Ephesians tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate. I love movies. Many times God speaks to me through movies. Particular movies, I don't watch every movie. I have discovered that there's some films that you just can't watch. I've started at 15 and now I think I'm down to a U. I think with just wait, what you see, we've got to be careful what we watch. And what we feed ourselves with. But there's a film that I saw many years ago and really represented what I'm talking about today, kindness. It was a film called Pay It Forward. Has anyone seen that? If you've never seen it, you need a box of hankies. Pay It Forward. Films, I believe, can be modern-day parables. Jesus told stories. Jesus told stories and films can be that modern day parable. Pay it forward. Kevin Spacey is a teacher of social studies. And one day he comes to his class and he gives them a project. And the project is think of an idea to change the world for the better, then put it into action. Think of an idea to change the world for the better, then put it into action. The class are full of excuses. Well, they are only kids, after not, are they not? 11, 12, no expectation. One child says, well, there is no expectation from us as children, so how can we change the world? Many of us saying, we're too young. What can we do to change the world? It's too hard. We are too insignificant. To change the world. How can you give us a project like this to think of an idea to change the world? But this young boy, Trevor, he goes away and he is a think. And so he comes up with an idea that you see in the film that changes many lives. He decides that instead of returning a favor, instead of waiting for someone to be kind to him, that he decides that he will step out and that he would be kind to three people. And his idea was that he was going to be kind to three people that he didn't even know. And what he would tell them was that each person was then to go and be kind to another three people. I think his graph is there. Can we see that next slide, Lola? So that was his, there was him being kind to three people. They would be kind to three other people. Then they would be kind to three other people. And you just see the spread of kindness that happens to people. Complete strangers. And you see all across America in the film, just people being kind, people giving away cars, people giving away money, people giving houses.
There's
even today a pay it forward society. People who just spend time just thinking about how kind that they can be. How can they show kindness to their world? The good news of the gospel is the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. He forgave us. He chose us. He poured his grace upon us, his love upon us. Jesus didn't wait until we got our act together. I believe Jesus paid it forward. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 7 says, "But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." So God can point to us in all the future ages as examples of his incredible wealth and of his grace and of his kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. The kindness of God. Do you know, I am a believer of sowing and reaping. What you reap or what you sow, you will reap. And you know, for many people, you know, who sit and think, well, nobody's kind to me. Nobody asks me out for a coffee. Nobody gives me a gift. Nobody tells me that they love me or they care for me. A lot of times we have people like that. But you know, why not take or turn things around and take a step and just say, well, I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to invite someone for a coffee. I'm going to give someone a gift, give someone a card, give someone a text message or a phone call. Just say, oh, I was thinking about you today. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, God loves you. I was just thinking about you. Do you know, that could, a small act like that is so powerful there. Today, we're going to see, and we have saw in the story, I believe, an act of kindness. Maybe you're thinking, where in that story is that act of kindness? But in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 and 19, in fact, I'm going to ask, who's got the first part? Frankie, my brother, who's going to come and read. It's my older brother.
I'm sure you can see that. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out, carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him: "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy."
Wow. Thank you. So, here we have Naaman, who is the commander of the Lord's, or the king of Aram. He is powerful, he is respected, he is a great warrior, and as we saw in his story and heard, he has leprosy. And from the perspective of the Israelites, he is someone who is unclean. He is unclean before God. We have this little girl there who's been taken as a slave. She's an Israelite. Taken against her will. Taken against her will. The lowest in social standing there. She is a Jew living in Syria, in Aram. She was young. She was a female living in a male-dominated place, culture. And she was a servant of Naaman's wife. So she looked as if she had nothing really going for her there. And Naaman hears from a girl about someone who could cure him of leprosy. I'm going to ask Annette, would you come and read that part for us?
"But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and far, far better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet has told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he simply says, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, and as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became healthy and the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too." "Go in peace," Elisha said. So Naaman started for home again.
So here we have this part of the story. Naaman has been told there is someone who could bring healing. Imagine the king of Israel getting a letter from another king. "I want you to heal my servant," or "I want you to heal Naaman." Imagine, just think about that. "I want you to heal him," there. And Naaman eventually ends up at Elisha. Thank God for Elisha. I'm sure the king of Israel was saying, "Oh, thank God for Elisha." But you know, one of the lessons I think that we have to learn from this is that sometimes God has to deal just with some of the stuff that's going on in us before we see some of the healing on the out. Because Naaman probably had in his mind, you know, he is a commander of the army. Do you know what I mean? He's got money. Do you know, he has got influence. And here, as he goes to Elisha, Elisha doesn't even answer the door. It's his servant. And Elisha doesn't even come to speak to him. He just says, his servant tells him, go and wash in the Jordan. Go and wash in the Jordan. And so here we have Naaman, who's actually weighing up, wait a minute. I mean, he's not even coming out to speak to me. Does he know who I am? Do you know who I am? He sends his servant. In fact, he doesn't even tell me to go and wash in the best rivers, the filthy Jordan. Do you know who I am? I think there's a bit of pride in Naaman. But again, praise God for servants. Because Naaman's servant's like, wait a minute, all he's asked you to do was go and dip 7 times, wash in the Jordan. Is that too difficult for you? And he does. He wanted Elisha just to come out, wave his hand, like a magic wand, healed. Wave a magic wand. But he did. And the good thing is, he was healed. He was healed. And he did believe that the Israel's God was the only true God. So there was a conversion to the faith of the Israelites that he acknowledged. And yes, his job required that he go in with the king as he worshipped a false idol. So it's no wonder he's asking, look, please pardon me this, because I need to do that. Here was a point of breakthrough for Naaman, an enemy of Israel. He was an enemy. He had taken slaves to a young girl. And yet, God heals him. God heals him. God heals him. I believe this shows us the kindness, first of all, of God. Titus chapter 3 says, when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Naaman was healed and acknowledges Israel's true God. And as in the movies, when it comes up and says, 10 days earlier, or previously, he's received his healing. He has received and believed that Israel's true God was a true God. So let's jump back. How did he get here? How did he get here? Verse 2 and 3, among the captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Do you know, she saw Naaman with his leprosy. Do you know, maybe people would create some space and not go too near him. They would hear them talking about it. Maybe Naaman has been going seeing the king's physicians. But here we have a slave girl who says, I wish my master would go and see Nathan the prophet, or Elisha the prophet. He would heal him. That was quite a bold statement. That was quite a bold statement. And this, I believe, is this young girl acting in kindness. She could have just left him, well, he's taking me as a slave, he deserves all he gets. She showed kindness. She showed kindness even though she was small and insignificant and saw herself as insignificant. I'm a foreigner, I'm a slave, I have a different religion, I'm a female living in a dominated, male-dominated land. I don't have anything, what do I have? But there was one thing that she did have, and that was her faith in God. That was her faith in God. And so that's why she suggests, go and show yourself to Elisha. Do you know, she showed kindness, even though what she could do was small. I mean, it's a suggestion, isn't it? Go and see Elisha. He'll heal you. It took a second. It took a second. Naaman, best access or access to the best doctors. They've been trying to cure him, spent a long time there. And this little girl, she just suggested something. Must have seemed so insignificant, but yet he acted on what this girl says. And I believe there's some risk in here. She took a risk, because what if Naaman wasn't healed and he came back? Well, you told me to go. You told me to go. And what would happen to her? Do you know, Naaman, if he had, well, his pride wasn't healed, I looked like a fool. I mean, nothing's happened. Do you know, even with the letter that was sent to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel was saying he's trying to pick a fight. Do you know, if Naaman wasn't healed, would war have broken out? Would war have broken out? The king would have said, well, I asked you to heal him, and you never, who knows? But there was great risk. There was great risk. An act of kindness. I wish my master would go and see the prophet Elisha. He would heal him. What it says, I close. One small act of kindness, one small person made one huge difference. A small act of kindness. If we are going to make a difference, I think it's got to be through kindness. And I think we have to be confident in God that he can do it. This little girl believed, and so she said to her mistress. I think we've got to be credible. I think we've got to just be credible as well in these days. You know, we walk the talk. That we don't just talk about believing in God, we actually show acts of kindness. What reputation have you got? What reputation? If we are going to make a difference, let's just be faithful. Let's just be faithful. And what I would ask you to do, when you go home, when you are in this week, take some time. Take some time. Sit with your coffee, your tea, and say, okay, God, one small act of kindness, what could I do this week? Who do you want me to bless this week? Yes, it may be someone that you know, maybe in church, maybe your neighbor. Bless them with a coffee, a card. Spend time even just listening to someone, listening to their story, carrying something for them, helping in some small way to make a big impact. Who are you going to show kindness to? Let me just pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Andrew. Father God, we thank you for this story. Lord, that you are good. We are giving thanks to you, for you are good. You are good. And Lord, our world needs you. Dundee needs you. Our neighbours need you. Lord, and I am asking today that you would just begin to plant seeds into our lives. Lord, it doesn't have to cost much. Lord, a small act of kindness. Would you just reveal who are the people that we need to just show an act of kindness towards? Father, that through the kindness that we show, Lord, that you would open up a way, Lord, just for sharing in the love of Jesus, for bringing hope, Lord, and even, as we have seen in this story, for bringing a miracle. Father, thank you that you are the kindest person that we know. And Lord, we're asking today for kindness to be poured into us and through us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Andrew.
Amen. And